Part 8, Chapter 4. Johnny crept toward the plateau near the cage. The moon had set. The night was dark. The sounds of distant wolves mingled with the moan of the icy wind. He heard above it the click of equipment as the sentry moved. Things had definitely not gone well tonight. The first plan had been aborted, making for last-minute changes. All afternoon, a mixed herd of buffalo and wild cattle had been ideally located on the plain. It was said that when a winter was going to be a very bad one, buffalo drifted down from the vastnesses of the north. Or perhaps it was a sort of migration to the south that would happen anyway. The wolves, long and gray, a different kind of wolf, came with them. The wolves were still out there, but the buffalo and cattle were not. The plan had been to stampede the mixed herd across the compound and create a diversion. It happened, now and then, and would not be suspicious. But just as the raid was about to be launched, the herd had taken it into their heads to trot eastward and were now too far away to be of any use. It was a bad omen. It meant hastily changed plans and a raid with no diversion. Dangerous. 20 Scots were scattered out there on the plain, among them Dunaldine. They were caped and hooded, as was Johnny, with the heat-deflecting fabric used in drilling. A mixture of powdered grass and glue made from hoofs had been painted over the costume. With this, infrared would read them like part of the surrounding grass. Even visually, they could be mistaken for the general terrain. The Scots were under specific orders to converge upon the breathe gas dump, separately pick up cases of small pressure cylinders, and get back to the base. The trick was to raid an enemy who would never know he had been raided. They must not suspect at the compound that the animals were hostile. It was a raid that must look like no raid. The Scots must not take any weapons, must not collide with any sentries, must not leave any traces. There was some protest that Johnny was going to go to the cage. He explained, not really believing it, that this way he would be behind any sentries who might converge upon the dump if a disturbance was noted. Johnny gripped a kill club and stole forward toward the plateau, and his next ill chance was awaiting him. The horses were not there. Perhaps nervous because of the wolves or seeking better grazing, they had wandered off. Through the glasses, Johnny had seen two of them last night. He had planned to creep up the last distance by guiding a horse alongside of him. All his horses were trained to strike with their front hoofs on command, and if the sentry were alerted and had to be hit, it would look like the cyclo had simply tangled with a horse. No horses. Wait. A dim increase in blackness in the black at the bottom of the cliff ahead of him. Johnny sighed with relief as the crunch of dry grass being munched came to him. But when he arrived, it was only Blodgett, the horse with the crippled shoulder, probably not given to much wandering due to the lameness. Oh well, better Blodgett than none at all. The horse nuzzled him in greeting, but obeyed the order to be silent. With a hand on Blodgett's jaw, causing the horse to stop a bit every few feet, walking back of the horse's shoulder and protected from any detector the sentry might be carrying, Johnny quietly approached the cage. If he could get within striking distance of the sentry, and if Blodgett remembered the training, and if the lame shoulder permitted, Johnny intended to take out the sentry.